Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. How you doing? It is Catherine in the chair for the next 2 weeks. It's great to be back, I have to say. Hope you are all feeling happy and relaxed after the long weekend. It was the bank holiday that just kept on giving, wasn't it? Lots of sunshine, lots of crack, loads of gigs happening around the country as well. So for those of you still on your jollies, we are well jealous. And for the rest of us who are back to work, just remember it's a short week. It'll be Friday before we know it, lads. And just listening to Shane on the news there, I mean, huge disappointment for people who've had flight cancelled today, holidays planned, so much time and effort goes into it with kids and time off and everything. It's just shocking. And we're actually going to be talking about flight cancellations and specifically the problems around the French strikes with Conor Pope a little bit later on as well, to see what you can do if your flight has actually been cancelled. But anyway, let me know how you're getting on today. 51551 for your texts, or ray@rte.ie for your emails. We always love to hear from you. I actually had a very low key this weekend. I wasn't up to much. I was at Bloom on Friday morning and it inspired me to finally tackle our garden, because the weeds, I'm not joking you, they were coming in the windows. So we did a Trojan amount of work and I went off to the garden centre and tried to pretend, you know, I was going up and down with the trolley, that I looked like I knew what I was buying. But I think they're quite overwhelming, garden centres, if you haven't a clue, because there's so much choice and you don't want to get it wrong because the plants are expensive. So anyway, I was chatting to a very nice lady and I bought a few bits. And while I was trying to figure out where to plant something called an agapanthus, I could hear the thumping tunes from the Forbidden Fruit Festival, which was happening just up the road from me in Imma in Kilmainham. And it was belting out across the skies. And I thought to myself while I was down wearing my new knee pads, you know what? Things have changed, folks. Things have changed. So if you were a bit more rock and roll than me, let me know. Did you get to one of the many gigs that were happening? The Lumineers were playing. I know Lionel Richie was playing. Also, by the way, a huge well done to all of you fabulous ladies who ran the Dublin Mini Marathon. And obviously to everybody in Cork who ran the marathon as well. Some great stories and pics in the papers yesterday. And I'm sure lots of Epsom salts being deployed in houses all over the country yesterday. Yes, let me tell you, the Ray Darcy Show team here, they do not miss a trick, right? I came in earlier this morning wearing a lot more makeup than I normally do, which didn't go unnoticed. But I was trying to hide a black eye inflicted on me by my 18-month-old toddler. So last week she was sitting on my knee and she had one of those metal toy trucks, you know, the old-fashioned toy trucks. And she just flung the arm back and she got me right under the left eye, which is now black and blue. And even the strongest concealer is not able to hide it, but thankfully it's on the mend. She didn't take my eye out. But we were then chatting about how children can just be the most dangerous little cretins when they're let loose. Like somehow their little fists or feet tend to get you in the most sensitive of areas, don't they? And then their little innocent faces looking back at you. I'm sure you've probably had similar. So let me know, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I mean, is there anything worse than standing on a stray Lego brick in your bare feet? I mean, it's a form of torture like no other, let me tell you. What else? Yes, fans of the Oh My God, What a Complete Aisling books, they are going to be happy to hear the final book is almost ready for consumption and it has got the seal of approval from Lit Queen herself, Marion Keyes. She tweeted yesterday, oh, I've just this minute finished the fifth and final Aisling book, #AislingEverAfter, by the amazing Emer McLysett and Sarah Breen. It is the most charming, funny, truly heartwarming, spirit-lifting novel. What an iconic creation Aisling is. I couldn't love her anymore. Now, that is a testimonial from the brilliant Marion Keyes herself. But they are, if you haven't read the books, lads, do. This last one, I think it's going to be published in September. So it's one to look forward to. And if, as I said, if you haven't already delved in, it might be nice to start that book series because it's perfect summer reading. You know, Aisling is this hopeful, funny, compassionate character. So, yeah, really brilliant. I'm a big fan. Now, there's great excitement and plans brewing among the team here for the Run with Ray Week, which is happening at the end of the month. Speaking of all things mini marathons and marathons, Ray is asking you to run 5K with him. So the show is going to take to the road broadcasting from beautiful Buncrana on Monday, June 26th. Then the whole team move on to Sligo on Tuesday, 27th. The roadcaster then hits for Mullingar on Wednesday, 28th, before moving down to Wicklow's Avondale Forest Park on Thursday, 29th. and finishing up in Corker Park in Dublin on Friday the 30th. That is some road trip. There's going to be some crack on that. So basically the show will broadcast each day as normal, and then once the show comes off air, it's all systems go for a 5:30 p.m. runtime. So I'm definitely going to be there one of the days for sure. Can't wait to join in. And you can register to take part at rte.ie/Ray, and when you sign up you'll get your Run with Ray t-shirt, which you can wear on the day as well. And our resident running coach Mary Jennings, she's actually going to be in with me on the show this Thursday to talk all things training, and if you've never done a 5k before, maybe how to approach it. And we're going to get Mr. Darcy on the phone as well. We're going to disturb his holidays, give him a call, make sure he's got the training in, that he's doing what he should be doing, and keeping up his training when he's on his jollies. And that event is sponsored by Irish Life with support from the local sports partnership as well. So that is one to look forward to. Also, later in the show, I'm going to be chatting to comedian Preacher Lawson. He was a massive success on America's Got Talent. He's going to be in with us after 4 o'clock. And here he is in action.
No, I don't like guessing women's ages because I'm a genius. I'm not stupid. It's a trap, ain't it? You don't guess women's age, especially someone younger. They flip out. You could be close to their age. They still flip out. We like 25 or something.
25?
That was close enough. Older women, as long as you're within the same century, they're fine. Like, they don't even care anymore. You be like, after the moon landing, you such a gentleman. Oh my God. So now. Way out of here.
Oh, Gaz, can't wait to catch up with him. And also we're going to be catching up with magician Killian O'Connor, who made it to the Britain's Got Talent final over the weekend. I think we were all glued to him. What a little legend. And he just represented Ireland and County Meath so well as well. So looking forward to chatting to him. Texts coming in here. Catherine, shout out to the 600 sanctuary runners in Sunday's Cork City Marathon. 42 nationalities. A brilliant day of solidarity, friendship and respect. Sure, we might even join in, Ray, or we might even join Ray on his runs. Yeah, absolutely do. The more the merrier is what I say. All right, let's get some music. This is the 1975s. They are playing in St. Anne's Park tomorrow. And this is the sound. The 1975 playing in St. Anne's Park tomorrow. And texts come in from Simon here. Hey, Catherine, Simon, here in Wicklow, half cooked from the sun. Wear your sunscreen, lads. Going to the 1975 tomorrow with the beautiful, humble, perfect soul, Shelley. Can't wait. What a gorgeous text. And Shelley, it sounds like you're in good hands. So enjoy the night, lads. All right, now it is time for me to tell you about this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz. And what we look for at this stage, most of you know, we're looking for two of you to come on air and answer three whodunit questions each on, it could be anything, music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians. Like all whodunits, there will be clues. So if you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. However, if you opt to take a clue because it's easier, you get 1 point. So without a clue, it's 2 points. With a clue, it is 1 point. And we have a fabulous prize on offer all of this week. It is 2 nights bed and breakfast plus dinner for two people at the River Lee Hotel in Cork, which is part of a family-owned luxury Irish luxury hotel group, the Doyle Collection. And they are celebrating late summer getaways with their new range of summer offers. From making a night of it to curated weekend experiences, there is something perfect for all types of weekend breaks in Cork. They have a beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening. So a weekend in Cork has never looked better. So as I said, it's 2 nights that we're giving away this week, dinner on one evening, and that is for two people. So all you got to do to be in with a chance of winning this is answer this question. 14-year-old Meath magician Killian O'Connor came third in which TV show over the weekend? Was it Britain's Got Talent or Ireland's Got Talent? So give us a call now, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. We're going to get two of you on air after 4 o'clock to battle it out for a chance to win that fantastic prize. Sounds good.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, some big news over the weekend for 14-year-old County Meath magician and friend of the show, Killian O'Connor. He scooped third place in this year's Britain's Got Talent final, wowing the judges, the audience and all of us here at home. I don't think there was a dry eye in Ireland watching him. Killian and his mom, Elaine, join me now on the line from the airport. But first, let's take a listen to his final performance on stage.
Since I arrived on BGT, I've made millions of friends. Because, you see, friends are like the stars. You don't always see them, but you know that they're always there. Simon, for the last time, what's the magic word?
Dog.
That was Killian there as he made co-host Ant McParlin disappear live on stage to the amazement of the judges. It was such a special moment. Killian, lovely to chat to you. How are you feeling? Has the excitement worn off yet?
Hello. No, the excitement is still here as much as ever because it was just on Sunday.
It was so impressive watching you. I mean, we'd seen you and I know you were chatting to Ray earlier in the year and you at that stage knew you'd made it to the semi-final. But watching you do your thing at the semi-final and then making it all the way to the final, and it was just electric. What was it like being up on stage in front of so many people? Because you were so confident.
Yeah, I was speechless going on because I had no idea that I would make it to the final, but just seeing all those people there, knowing that they had supported me throughout the journey. So, yeah, I felt speechless.
And I mean, you've talked about how this show has given you such confidence, because I think it's easy for us to forget, like, it's been a long journey for you and you're going over, you're flying to the UK, you're meeting new friends, and there's a lot of rehearsal time that goes into a big show like that. So talk to me, in what way has it given you confidence, do you think?
Well, the magic would have helped us. It helped me be able to talk to people in public and socialise, but not just the magic, but also doing all the interviews has also helped improve my confidence.
Mm. I mean, so many kids who have autism who were watching you, you have inspired so many people, not just in Ireland, but right across the UK, because, and that's what you said that you wanted to achieve, and you did it.
Yes, I did. I feel that I've been a big inspiration to other kids with autism, and I've showed them that don't give up on their dreams. Mm-hmm. They can create their own story. Only they can create their own story, and they should go the distance.
Absolutely. And you are winging your way back to Ireland. You are heading back to Meath. Elaine, your mom, is with you there now. What's the reaction been like at home? And I'm sure your phone is hopping, or your mom's phone is hopping with messages from family and friends and the school and all sorts.
Yeah, all of them are popping. Mine, my mom's, my dad's. And there's just been a huge amount of support from everyone in my family, but also people all over Ireland.
I mean, to impress Simon Cowell is something else. He can be very tough, we know that. But you seem to have him right in the palm of your hands from the get-go.
Yeah, it is a real challenge to impress Simon Cowell, as, you know, he would be the biggest name in Britain's Got Talent. Mm. And, you know, he created the show. He's been there since day one. Mm. Before any of the acts or Les Mis on the Sunday, me and him, we actually shook hands and he wished me the best of luck.
Amazing. I mean, that must have been some moment, because I know that you had been a fan of the show. You'd watched the show for years. You'd watched other musicians and magicians and performers, everybody doing their thing. And all of a sudden, it was your time to shine. And you did that so well. But it must have felt quite surreal at the same time.
Yeah, it was very surreal going on to BGT, as, you know, it's been my dream since I started Magic. And what really made me want to go on to Britain's Got Talent was Izzy Simpson in 2017, when she came second place in the whole competition. Mm. That was a huge step in Magic for youngsters. So Izzy was definitely my biggest inspiration and what made me want to go on to BGT.
And tell me this, what is the dream now? Obviously, you've got to put your feet up and relax for a few days after the madness of the weekend, which will be difficult because I'm sure there'll be a big welcoming committee and a big party and everything for you when you get back to Meath. But what's the plan for you, Killian? Like, where would you like to bring your magic?
I'd like to go all over the world with my magic. Las Vegas would be a good place. And also getting on to the Late Late Show or the Late Late Toy Show. That would be a great thing for me.
Well, that, you know what, Killian? We'll watch this space. Is your mom Elaine there? Can I have a little word with her?
Yeah, she's right here.
Brilliant.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great, Elaine. How are you? It's been some weekend.
Oh, my God. Wow. Honestly, we are still in shock. We never, ever, ever imagined that he would make it into the finals. It was just unbelievable.
It was magic in itself watching you in the audience when they cut to you. It was just...
That was my twin sister.
Oh, that was your twin!
Everybody's saying, oh my God, I was actually, because I had to set up all of the props for Killian.
Okay.
So I was at the side, so I was off camera, thank God, because I was a blubbering mess. But what happened was when they ran his VT, they brought him onto the stage and the whole theatre just erupted. Mm. And I was bawling. And when they, because that was everybody's first time to actually see Killian, because it was the best kept secret that he was in the semi-final. But
How did you keep the secret?
And, oh, do you know what? We just wanted it to be really special. Mm. Everybody, just the whole theatre just stood up on their feet. So you got a standing ovation before he even started his routine. So just gave me goosebumps and I was just, oh my God, so proud of him. Just standing there, so relaxed, ready to go.
Well, it
I'm
was
still
like,
actually calling our flight here, Catherine.
Oh, okay, I better let you go. But I just wanted to say well done. And it was like Simon Cowell had said, you know, he didn't know which he preferred more, the magic and how impressed he was with Killian or Killian himself. And I just think he is a magic little performer. He's amazing. And he's come so far on this journey, hasn't he?
Absolutely. He's grown so much. And we're just extremely proud. Like, none of us imagined what would happen. He had a dream to go and do his audition. We brought him to the audition, and then anything that happened after that, it's just mind blown. But and everybody's been so supportive, and we're so grateful and so thankful for everything. But yeah, it's just been amazing.
Is there a party scheduled for tonight?
No, we actually haven't even got a minute. It's like this. We haven't, nothing sunk in. We're still in shock, to be honest.
Brilliant. Well,
but,
listen,
yeah.
Enjoy every minute of it. I know there is huge support for you, not just here, as I said, but right across the UK as well. And rightly so. He's a brilliant little performer. We cannot wait to see where he goes. Elaine, go. Do not miss your flight.
You
Get him on
much.
That plane. Good
no,
luck.
Thank you, Catherine.
Take care.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Catherine, I'm listening to you here in Lanzarote. It's 26 degrees and clear skies. No sign of Storm Oscar. The Irish have taken over the island. Shout out to all the Irish in Lanzarote and at home. And that comes in from Richie. And you know what? It's good to hear that the sun is shining there, because we're hearing all sorts of stories of it raining in Italy and raining everywhere. And the rest of us are gloating at home. If people are away, you're sending the message. You're sending the pic from the back garden going, it's 24 degrees, lads. Anyway, the sun may not be making an appearance today, but joining me in studio are two rays of sunshine. They've become known as the Irish Camino sisters, Miriam and Joe Donoghue. It's great to see you.
Thank
and you
Catherine.
Are looking
here.
Fabulous, may
Thank
I say.
Thank you, Catherine.
I must mention that there are more of you. There's five sisters in total. Is that
five
right?
Five of us.
Five
yeah.
of you. So two of you representing the chats today.
That's right.
So, well, I suppose let's start at the beginning, because you come from a big family. There's 10 children. Where did you grow up, and was it Kilkenny?
Kilkenny. A small village in Kilkenny called Gorsbridge.
Lovely part of the world.
Beautiful River Barrow near Carlow, your own home patch.
Yeah.
And there was nine children living. Our father, Ned, died age 45 when our mother was 8 months pregnant with her 10th child.
Oh, God.
And at that stage, the eldest was 15. I was the eldest girl. I was 14. Joe was only 3 at that stage. So it was a big family. And sadly, a year and a half After that, our brother Jack died of the measles, age 10. So my mother had to deal with a lot of tragedy, and she was building up a very successful business, Gorsebridge Horse Sales. So wow. I suppose I took the role of, you know, the second mother in terms of being the older responsible sister who had to drag up all the younger ones.
And is your mom still alive?
Kitty is still alive and kicking and listening in, aged 88.
She's still
we call her the matriarch. She's still bossing around and terrorising us all. So she's still hailing hearty, thank God.
God, that's a big undertaking. So she was rearing the nine of you after sadly your brother passed away, and then running the business as
well. Yeah, my father and my mother had started a horse sales business in 1968. It was the first sort of organised horse sales in the country.
Okay.
And it was just really taken off, and my mother took it on, and my brother Martin, when he finished school 2 years after my dad died, he joined the business and he's running the business today.
Okay. And Joe, you are Miriam's the eldest.
Yeah.
Is that why she does all the talking?
She tries to do all the talking. Catherine, you'll find out that I can hold
my own.
I can hold my own. Yeah, so I'm the youngest girl. There's two younger brothers.
Okay.
I was three when dad died. And
What do you remember of that time?
Not a huge amount. Like, to be honest, I think, like, I have really good memories of my childhood. Like, and mom is like a powerhouse. She's the most inspirational woman. She's the most generous woman I know in everything, in every way with her time. And she has a bit of crack. And I think we got that from Mammy, definitely. Like, I mean, we all have a sense of fun. And I think with the Camino experience, we definitely brought that to the Camino as well. Like the bit of crack and the bit of mischief. And we could definitely get that from my mam, you know.
And
she's amazing.
I'm not going to get any X-rated stories. What goes on tour stays on tour. You'll only tell me
what
you can.
We have a written contract between us, what we can divulge.
Tell me about the other sisters then, because I suppose what interested me about this was the fact that you were all able to come together. There's such a big age gap between you all. You obviously have an incredible relationship. You've been through so much together. So tell me about the other sisters.
Different.
And you're
like,
so different.
We couldn't be more different in a way. I'm the youngest.
Start at the bottom. Yeah, you're the youngest.
So I'm the youngest. And I work for an organisation called Mental Health Ireland, and massively passionate about mental health. And I have a little 4-year-old. I was late to the game of motherhood, but by God, was it worth it? He's the cutest little thing.
Did you have that horrible sign over your bed as well, like I did, saying geriatric mother?
Yes. Yeah. And very, mine said very geriatric.
Okay, and, you're a different league.
That's me. And then Kathy is a public health nurse in Carlow. And Kathy has two kids and just a very generous, kind. She's a nurse for a reason, terribly kind person. And then Louise recently went into business. She's an antique dealer, so she has a company. If I don't mention it, she'll kill me. LF Dunhue Antiques. Check it out on Instagram. So Louise is just, you know, great person. She's got two kids. She's living in Salins. And then Mag is a tonic. And actually, after spending 5 days with Mag, that's what I've been saying about her. You would bring her anywhere. She's full of adventure. And Mag has a business as well. She has a trout business in County Kilkenny called Goatsbridge Trout, and she's a trailblazer. And Mag has her own challenges at the moment. She's living with cancer, so she wanted to be here today but couldn't, so she's amazing. And then Miriam, as my mother would say, if I meet anyone, Mammy would say, did you tell him who you are? And I'm like, who am I? Miriam's sister. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I get that regularly. So I think Miriam can kind of probably introduce herself. She has a long list of achievements behind her, and from
You're
being
far too kind,
political
Joanne.
Correspondent with
nice
the Irish Times
the
to, I'm expecting a tenner when I get out of this, I want money for this.
But with the age gap between you guys, you're the youngest and you're the eldest, Miriam. Obviously, when you go through life and you have four sisters along with you, what an incredible privilege that is. It might not always have felt like that, because I know, well, I have a sister myself, and you go through phases. But I think the older you get, to have that bond with a sister is something really special.
It is very special, and it's only becoming more special, I suppose, in recent years, Catherine, because I was 17 when I left home, having dragged all the siblings up to go to college to do journalism in Dublin. At that stage, Joanne was only 6. So I never really knew Joanne or Cathy, who was 8 at the time. And if you look at us now, I have a 4-year-old granddaughter and Joanne is a 4-year-old son.
Okay.
So that's a real example of the sort of the generation gap, I suppose, in a sense. So, you know, I mean, when I was growing older, getting into my 20s, had my children, Joanne and Cathy would have been the babysitters, and we wouldn't have spent much time together. We would have all been going off doing our own things. And I think that's why last October it was Mags, the real inspirational one of the five of us, who said, listen, why don't we all do something next May for Cathy's 50th birthday? And there was also the issue that Mag had this blood cancer, and she has been such a warrior. She went through stem cell. She has been such an inspiration to so many people. She is the fittest of the five of us, and she recently took part in and came 10th in her age group in the World Triathlon Championships in Ibiza. So she is just incredible.
She's hoping to represent Ireland in the World Championship Games in Australia next year, like living with cancer. She's unbelievable.
And but when was she diagnosed with multiple myeloma?
April 2021. She's a big...
When you get that call or that knock on the door when she does that, or how that happened, what does that do to a family?
To be honest, the way Mag dealt with it really shaped how we as a family coped, because Mag said from the get-go, no fuss, I have this diagnosis, I'm going to deal with this. And she didn't want any fuss. And I think we dealt with it therefore in a very practical way. But we were there with Mag every step of the way. She was over a month in isolation in St. James's Hospital. So she couldn't receive visits. But I remember one day Mag ringing me saying that she had a craving for an egg, the egg rolls that they do in Avoca in Rathcoole. And she couldn't really eat at that stage. So I got in a car, went down to Avoca in Rathcoole, got her an egg sandwich, dropped it into reception, and she managed one or two bites. But that's a way that we were able to support and to help Mag during her journey.
And like when she rang me, she rang me and she led by, listen, I have some news, it's not terminal. And I thought, oh, Jesus, Mag, what have you got to tell me? Mm. Do you know, she led in with that. I picked Mag up from the hospital after her stem cell transplant, and she was very weak, and we called in to see Mam on the way home. And my mother's reaction, because it was COVID, so Mam came to the door and Mag had a mask, and Mammy said, oh, for God's sake, you did not wear those jeans home from the hospital, because they had a rip. The jeans had a rip. She was like, tell me you didn't wear those jeans home from the hospital. And it was just reality, you know, just normal, getting on with it. You know?
Is that strength of character, does that come from your mother?
Oh, yeah. And Mam, I don't know if Mam is listening in now, but she'd be giving out that we weren't giving our dad more kudos, you know.
Okay.
Because she says sometimes we forget about Dad, and he wanted to make sure we were all educated, and we were. You know, that was one thing that when my dad died, that my mum made sure that she put us all through college. I did try to take a year out, and I was told very quickly that if I wanted to find myself, that she would find me quick enough. And so that was the end of that conversation. But she would say that my dad had that and the foresight with the business. He took a chance. Like, he was someone who was managing a quarry. He had an idea to set up a horse sales. It's now the largest half-bred international sales in Europe. And that's because of my dad, who had the idea, and then my mum and my brother Martin, and my other brothers as well are involved, and we've all been involved in some way or another over the years.
And was Mag always into her health and fitness, or was that since the diagnosis? I mean, does she have Everest Base Camp on the list as well to do?
She's going to Everest Base Camp in October, but her real fitness kick started when she was, I think, 52. She's now 58. She started running and doing cycling and doing the triathlon activities. So when she got her cancer diagnosis, then she found that really helped. And she had one message today, was she really is a big believer that in exercise and positive mental health attitude as a medicine, combined with obviously all the other medicines and drugs that you take. And she firmly believes that's carried her on and carried her through what she's going through at the moment. So it really is incredible.
So it was Cathy's 50th. This was the idea. You were all getting together to go to the Camino. Now, between the children, the grandchildren, the fellas, the jobs, the this, the that, how did you manage to hit on a date and a week and a time that suited everybody?
We decided in January to go in May.
Okay.
So, you know, we gave ourselves a bit of notice, I suppose. And Mag would have gone the next week. I think in October was a suggestion, and Mag said, let's go before Christmas. And we were like, are you serious? Like, no, that's not going to happen, Mag. Jesus. So in January, kind of put the heads together, and Yeah, decided.
So you booked, John booked the flights.
Yeah.
Okay. And which leg, how did you decide on the leg to do?
I had done the Soria to Santiago leg. It's the 115 kilometre leg, twice before with different friends. So I sort of knew my way around. So Joanne booked the flights and I booked the accommodation along each leg. Mm. And it all worked out really well. And the crack we had along the way and the people we met was incredible.
And had ye ever holidayed just as a fivesome before?
No. And I can safely say at the time I did question that decision when 5 days, and not just 5 days by a pool or 5 days walking together. And I've been asked loads of times since I get back, would you do it again? I was like, absolutely. You know, I think something like the Camino is different because you're not together all the time. So you walk on or you meet new people. It's quite adventurous, and every time you turn a corner, the landscape is different. So, and you know, you're putting a lot of miles on your legs, but you don't feel like you are, you know.
How many miles were you doing a day? How many?
So the shortest day was 18 kilometres and the longest day was 29.
Wow.
But it didn't feel like that. And, you know, we're lucky because we're all quite fit. Mag, who's the fittest, felt her glutes. So if I heard the word glutes again, you know, it was gas. She couldn't believe that she felt muscles that she hadn't felt because she's not used to walking. She does everything else.
Okay.
But we didn't, like, there's people carrying like 17 kg bags on their backs and walking that 29
k. We had our bags shipped ahead
from place to place
every day. But one of the highlights was one day was the long day. It was a very hot day and we all like swimming. So we rocked into this town, walked over a bridge and we looked jealously at this beautiful flowing river and we looked at each other and said, Willoughby, yeah, we will.
Thanks.
So we off down to our knickers and T-shirts and in we jumped in for a
brilliant
swim. Four of us did. Mm. To the cheers of our fellow Camino travellers on the bridge saying, come on, Camino sisters.
And
I love it.
And a few people on the way who were sorry to have missed it, particularly to her that we took off some of her clothes.
The word,
but you know,
spread.
What? It's on my list. The Camino has been on my list and on my book list and I've never done it. And people do it for lots of different reasons. Mm. You know, people do it to find themselves, to, I think, run away from something, to run towards something maybe as well. For you, what did it give you? What did it bring you? And how was the dynamics between ye on the trip?
Well, for me, it was the idea of spending time with my sisters. And yeah, I was a bit nervous about it, but that all worked out brilliantly, apart from the fact someone robbed someone's HRT. But we won't go into that now.
I don't need HRT, so
there's
definitely
there's been an
wasn't
inquiry
me.
Into that. But for me, I was at a sort of a bit of a crossroads in my own life, Catherine. I had been working as head of communications with Trogra, an amazing organisation, and I decided to step back and to go into sort of freelance comms consultancy. I'm turning the big 6-0 next year. Mm-hmm. I've worked really hard for 40 years as a journalist and in communications, and I just wanted to sort of step back a little bit and start to sort of not wind down as such, but just to reappraise. Mm. So I spent probably more time than the girls. I would have broken away a little bit along the walk and I would have said, listen girls, I'm going to hang behind and do a few hours on my own just to get into my own head. Mm. And I found that really fantastic. And I think Joanne has a great expression. Joanne said she left a load of stuff
baggage
behind.
Like I'm big into mental health and I'm very aware of the kind of the mental health benefits of being in nature. You know, I'm working on programs. We have a program called Woodlands for Health and it's about being in the woods. And getting the benefits of that. So I was very in tune with that piece. Mm-hmm. And I feel that when I came home, I felt lighter. So for me, it was like I either talked out some of the stuff that was going on for me, or I just left it behind or decided. So I was kind of had this vision in my head that like on the leaves and the trees or in the fields were all my troubles and loads of other people's troubles as well that were walking in front of us and behind us. Like, you know, there was and we met people, like we met a lovely couple actually, Fiona and Kieran, and they were there remembering their brother who'd passed in November, and they had a little teddy bear made of clothes that their brother Seamus had worn on the Camino previously. And I often thought about them, and for every step I think you could hear the crunch, you know, you can hear the crunch of steps all the time, people in front of you, and they were really, I suppose, celebrating Seamus's life. And I think we all were celebrating parts of our own lives but also maybe leaving some stuff behind as well, which is lovely.
And what was interesting was when we were kids, the three oldest were in one room and the two youngest in another room, so that was more or less replicated along the Camino. And there was one story told against me that when I was was sharing with my two other sisters, I used to force them to give me piggybacks to go to the loo at night time.
I believe
so
it.
Lots of funny stories.
Did
like
you
that.
Learn anything new about each other?
For me, the most incredible thing was the change in dynamics. And I really realised where I was the older one, the responsible one, the leader, the one who had to change nappies and feedies. And even when I left home, I was like the second mother. That it's a full role reversal. So Joanne would and Kathy, the two youngest, would now be the leaders, the responsible ones. They do so much managing. Not that my mother needs full-time care, but she does need support. And they are incredible. And I was the submissive, quiet one. And I'm the one who's leaning on them now, which is a
did that surprise you, Joe?
I don't know if I've ever heard the word submissive and Miriam in the one sentence before. So I just need to reflect on that. you know what? Yeah, I suppose. Look, I held a kitty. So I was in, I had a little bit of power. It was lovely. So I was, yeah, I was kind of doing the mammy. I'm big into food as well. So I was kind of saying, where do we eat? And like, I'll go and get the food and I'll get the coffees. And our sister Louise was kind of saying, what am I eating for lunch? And what am I eating? She was like, I haven't had to make a decision all week, you know.
But that's
was
what's
great
about a trip like that, when you have somebody who relishes taking on that role and you can just leave your brain at the door and follow on, you know, where you're going.
Brilliant.
Somebody's telling you where to walk, where to eat, where to sleep.
And literally carry your bags.
And carry your bags.
And one thing with my sister Kathy, there's only 2 years between us. And when we grew up, like Annie, you know, when you're quite close and we used to kind of like fight a bit or whatever. And when we turned into when we were in our early 20s, we really got close. And what I realised was, and we had a chat about this, was when we were reminiscing, I know all the stories where I was either in her stories or I knew about her stories and she knew about mine. And it was lovely. It was that kind of affirmation, I suppose, that friendship that we have is really strong. And we all have history. The five of us have history together. Like you can't, there's
and
no
I
diluting
think,
that.
No, you know? And I think when you span over the years that you do, there are different times in our lives where we really need our family.
Yes.
And because of your age gaps, there was always somebody that's going to be there to help you through a tough time. I can't let you go. We're way over, but I can't let you go and not mention the brothers. They didn't even get a look in.
The who?
The two brothers.
The four brothers.
Martin, the eldest. The next brother, Ed. Sorry, Martin is an auctioneer, runs the horse sales. Ed is a.
No, you don't have to give them all a plug. Let's just name them.
Mike is a bloodstock agent and Jim works for Pfizer.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. Are you going to go away together again, girls?
Yes. Yeah, we need a break. I'd say, a couple of months.
We need a break from each other and then revisit.
I'll we'll become come back, the big bossy sister now again momentarily. I think we'll do another leg of the Camino.
Oh,
there's lots of other
back,
parts that we can do over maybe 5 or 6 days.
But Catherine, I would say to you, it's been on your book list, do it.
I have to do it.
Fabulous. And you know what? Another thing as well, a lot of people think it's really expensive and it can be done very cheaply. Flights are quite cheap. Accommodation is really cheap and food can be quite cheap. So if anyone there thinking, oh, it's not accessible to me. It is if you do a little bit of work,
put the research in.
Really accessible.
I might put it to my own sister.
Yeah, there you go.
Let us know how you get on. Leave the babbies at home and off we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely to chat
to you.
Thank you,
Catherine.
Mag, if you're listening, speedy recovery and you'll be back on your feet and for Everest Base Camp.
Yes.
We want her to come in and tell me all about that.
Okay, we'll arrange that.
We'll arrange it. This track is for you, ladies. Well done.
Woo.
Fabulous track there and love chatting to the ladies. But we are getting close to the wire and I have Conor Pope waiting in the wings. So I'm going to fade that down. Conor, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am good. Not a bother. So if anybody wants to get in touch with Conor about consumer conundrums, it's pricewatch@rte.ie if you have a problem that you need him to solve. And we'll get to today's problem in just a moment. But first, Conor, because it's what everybody is talking about. It's in the papers again today. And quite a few Irish people affected once again by the French air traffic control strike, which has grounded dozens of flights arriving and departing Dublin Airport today. It's ongoing, isn't it?
It is. It's been happening for a very long time, since the start of the year. And just very briefly, the background is that the French government wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. The unions don't want that to happen. And air traffic controllers have gone on strike. So I think there's 15 flights due to fly from Ireland to France cancelled today, and then a similar number that are due to come back. Now, you might say to yourself, well, that isn't a huge number, but if you think that there might be 150 people on each of those flights, the numbers of people impacted really quickly mount up. And it can be a terribly distressing and stressful situation to find yourself in an airport with, you know, planning to come home or planning to get to your holidays or get to a business meeting or whatever it might be, and you can't go because of a strike. And I mean, I, like a lot of people, I'd be firm I'd be supportive of unions and their right to protest. But I think something like this can really have a negative impact on people who are trying to travel.
Mm. So if the flight has been cancelled, what is the situation? What are the consumer rights?
Well, there are some very, very clearly laid out rights. So under EU Regulation 261, airlines must offer passengers who are impacted by a cancellation like this a full refund or a rerouting at the next available flight or at a later time that suits the passenger. So they're the three inalienable rights that people have. Okay. Now, if you opt for a refund, the airline's responsibility ends there and then. So that's the end of the story. But if you ask to be put on the next available flight, then the airline has a responsibility to look after you, particularly if you're overseas. So that means that, let's say, if you're trying to come home from France to Ireland, the flight is cancelled and they can't get you on a flight for another 2 days, well, then the airline has a legal right to look after you. And of course, then the question is, well, what does look after mean? Mm. Well, you're entitled to overnight accommodation. You're entitled to reasonable expenses incurred for food and drink. Now, that doesn't mean you can like live it up in a Michelin-starred restaurant and have like a tasting menu that costs 300 quid and then give the receipts to Ryanair. But, you know, they are obliged to cover the costs until they can get you home. And in the old days, Catherine, what would happen is that the airlines would have hotels on standby and they'd shuttle you from the airport to the hotel and you'd stay there. And it was always a pretty grim experience. Nowadays, you might find yourself in an airport in Nice or Nantes or wherever it might be, and there isn't a sinner around to help you. So in those cases, what you need to do is you need to look after yourself. So you go, if the next available flight is 2 days from now and you're stuck in France, you go and you find yourself a hotel near the airport. You keep checking in with the airline. You keep all your receipts. And then when you get home, you submit copies. I can't stress that enough. You submit copies of your receipts to the airline and they have a legal obligation to look after those receipts.
Okay. And what is being talked about in terms of a solution for this? Because it's not just French airports, it's actually French airspace as well. So you mightn't even be flying in out of France, but you could be going to Spain or Portugal or whatever, you're affected as well. So what are they talking about? What's being talked around the European table?
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, whilst I think most people would support a union's right to industrial action and to defend their workers' rights, it does seem absurd that a dispute between the French aviation system, French air traffic controllers and the French government should impact somebody flying from Ireland to Spain. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. One of the things that Ryanair would be calling for, and Ryanair is very vocal on this in particular, is that there should be a minimum service obligation put in place. So in a lot of countries, when it comes to the critical infrastructure, and like flights would be a part of that critical aviation infrastructure, there is a minimum service that unions have to provide. So you might be able to have an industrial action, but you wouldn't be able to ground the whole system to a halt. Mm. And I think something like that would probably have to be implemented across the European Union. But it's not going to happen this summer, and it probably won't happen next summer, because it's an extremely difficult and complex thing to put in place. But it is something that would need to happen, not necessarily to stop unions going on strike in France, but it would stop unions in France impacting the holidaymakers trying to go from Ireland to Spain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of holidays, lots of people would have been packing sun cream and sunscreen, and we would have all been using it here as well. And that's what our problem is today. A listener has texted in. Now, I know this might sound like make me sound like a penny pincher, but I was wondering if you could tell me if the sunscreen I bought last year can be used this year. I have about 6 bottles of really expensive sunscreen and they're almost all full, so I'd hate to just bin them if I can get use out of them this year. Is there any way I can check if they are past their sell-by date? Is there not a sell-by date on the bottles? No?
There is, but it's a code, Catherine. Ah. So if you don't know it's there, you could be staring at the bottle for a long time going, well, I have no idea. Because like, it's not like you buy a carton of milk or you buy a pound of butter or a loaf of bread and it has a use-by date or a best-before date or whatever it might be. But there is good news for this particular listener, and there is a good chance that the sun cream that they bought last year will be able to be used this year. But it comes with an important caveat. So the first thing they need to do is they need to check the label to be sure. And what they're looking for is an icon of a small jar at the back of the bottle with a number 3, 6 or 12 followed by the letter M. Now that indicates how many months after opening a product the product will last when it comes to sun cream. So you might see it has a little jar plus 12M. That tells you that the product is going to last for 12 months after you opened it. So then the person will need to work out, okay, well, did I open it in May of last year or did I open it in September of last year? And like you might think, well, then what difference would it make? But it might make a difference, okay? So that's the first thing to remember.
Sorry, and can I just add, I have been travelling for 25 years and I have never... ever heard that.
I know. And actually, just because I...
That is news to me.
I checked a couple of bottles just to make sure that I wasn't completely mental, because it's not, it doesn't leap off the bottle at you.
Yeah.
But it's on every single bottle. So it has, and it doesn't look like a jar. So don't expect to see a jam jar. Now, it's a small little circular object, plus the number 3, 6, or 12, followed by the letter M.
Okay.
Now, that indicates how many months after opening a product. Now, it's not definitive, Catherine, and that's important, because the longevity or otherwise of this particular sun cream, whatever it might be, depends on how you've looked after it. Because just as you or I can be damaged by the sun, or at least by the heat, so can the sun cream. So let's say if you had it sitting in the baking Tunisian sun for 2.5 weeks last
August, the Clondalkin sun this weekend,
or the Clondalkin sun this weekend, the qualities of the product deteriorate, which means that it mightn't work as effectively. And then it comes down to, well, the only way you could work out if it's going to work for you is by putting it on and going out in the sun. And to be honest, that's not a great way to do it, because you put it on, you go out in the sun, you burn your head or whatever it might be, and then you're going, oh, I wish I'd just binned that.
Okay.
So I think the best advice, unless it was wildly expensive and it looks like it's been looked after and in good nick and that it's within the 12-month range, bin it and buy a new product.
Okay. Thank you so much, Connor. Connor Pope, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gura Mahagat Colum. Lots of love coming in for our Irish Camino sisters, Miriam and Joe, who I was chatting to earlier. Catherine, I'm just back from the Camino with the best sisters you could walk with. Big hello to Suzanne, Gemma and Claire. And that comes in from Sister Madeline. Such great sisters, says Marion and Malahide. Fabulous, loved listening to them. Lots of love coming in. Lots of people who have done the Camino this year as well. Okay, now it is time for this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz, and we have two people who are ready to battle it out and answer questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians, anything that we can throw at them. And we will opt to give them clues, or they can opt to have clues. They can answer without a clue, which gets 2 points because it's a little bit harder, or they can choose a clue, which is easier, and get them 1 point. And the prize they are playing for today is 2 nights bed and breakfast plus dinner for two people at the River Lee Hotel. The River Lee is part of the family owned Irish luxury hotel group, the Doyle Collection, which is celebrating late summer getaways with their new range of summer offers, from making a night of it to curated weekend experience. There's something perfect for all types of weekend breaks in Cork. They have a gorgeous riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening. So a weekend in Cork has never looked better. And to find out more, you can visit doylecollection.com/Cork. So we asked you guys, the question was, 14-year-old me, the magician Killian O'Connor, came third in what TV show? And of course, that was Britain's Got Talent. And two people who got it right, along with lots of others, were Anne-Marie O'Neill and Matthew Kennedy. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Catherine.
Well, they tell me, Anne-Marie, yes, you are player number one. So I will start with you. What are you up to? Where are you phoning from, first of all?
Hi, Catherine. How are you? I'm calling from Shepperside in Dublin.
Lovely. And what are you up to today?
Not too much, Catherine. Just collected the little fellas from school a little while ago, so just about to get the dinner ready, so not doing too much now.
Ah, fab. Nice, relaxed evening. And did you do much over the bank holiday weekend? Or?
Yeah, we actually, we had a big anniversary. We were a 10-year wedding anniversary tomorrow, so we were away in Lisbon for a few days.
Oh, amazing.
So that was very nice. Yeah, it was fab. Yeah,
with,
it was lovely.
Without the boys?
No, we got rid of them for the weekend, the first time ever. So they went loud, your cousins. So, it was really, really good. It was really, really nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So they're 8 and 5, and that was your first weekend away without them?
It was, yeah.
That
must
have been amazing.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good.
Where?
Really,
so you were did you go to Lisbon? Is that?
Yeah, Lisbon, yeah.
Great city.
Yeah.
Great city.
Lots of walking, yeah. Lovely city, yeah.
And amazing food.
Oh, food's gorgeous, yeah. Really, really nice, yeah. Lovely.
And
really enjoyed
what's your husband's name? We better give him a mention.
Dara. So he's working from home. He's up on the call. So, yeah, no help today.
No help, okay. But you're 10 years married. Where did you meet?
We met in Dublin, in Ranelagh, in McSorley's.
Oh, I know it well.
Just bumped into each other. Yeah, it was just friends. So yeah, that was it. The rest is history.
Yeah. Oh, and what's the secret to getting to 10 years, Anne-Marie?
I don't know. Plenty of wine.
Plenty of wine. I'll take that. That's going in the notebook.
Exactly.
Listen, congratulations and delighted. Listen, to keep the celebrations going, a weekend in Cork would be a nice one to top it all off. Stay on the line, Anne-Marie. Matthew, how are you doing today?
Doing grand, thank you very much.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ferns in County Wexford.
Fabulous. And what are you up to this afternoon?
I'm actually working today. I work for a family-run hardware company down in Ferns here.
Good
in the
stuff.
The sunny South East, Boulder Brothers, a very lovely company to work for.
Brilliant. It's always nice
today,
to hear that. They tell me you were out painting the deck yesterday. How did that go?
I was indeed, yeah. Well, I started on the day before, but I thought I'd do it in a few hours, but I ended up in a two-day job, so
Right. That was a bit the same with ourselves. Now, we were in the garden all weekend, and I think once you start, you can't stop then.
Oh, the previous Sunday, I was on my knees from 10:30 in the morning till 7:30 that evening, reading.
Did you have the knee pads as well? I never thought I'd be a woman in knee pads.
No. I kind of, you know what, I usually get a shopping bag and fill it full of paper or something like that and just kneel on that.
Oh, okay. So, well, I saw them on special offer in Woody's, so I said, you know what, I'm in, like Flynn. So you're back at real work.
We actually sell them in work, so I should just grab a pair.
Well, I got a pair for myself and a pair for himself, and we were like, anyway, so you'd fancy a weekend in Cork, and if you were to win today, Matthew, who would you take with you?
Oh, it has to be in the boss, my wife, Caroline.
The boss. All right. Big hello to Caroline as well. So Anne-Marie and Matthew, you are our two players today. Do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
Best of luck, Anne-Marie.
Best of luck, Matthew.
All right. Anne-Marie, you are first. And our first category today is music. So you'll get 1 point with a clue or 2 points with no clue. What do you think?
No clue, please.
No clue. All right. All you got to do is tell us who this is. Great band. Can you tell me who that is?
Yeah, so it would be Jarvis Cocker.
Yes, Pulp.
Yeah.
Fabulous. All right, we'll take that because Pulp is what we were looking for. And Jarvis Cocker is the lead singer in the band. So 2 points on the board for you. Matthew, coming to you, your category is also music. So what do you think? Do you want to go for a clue, which will get you 1 point, or no clue, which will bank you 2 points?
No clue.
No clue. All right. This is for you, Matthew. Can you tell us who this is?
I'm sorry, I can't hear it. Hello?
Matthew, can you hear us?
I can't hear you. No, sorry, I can't hear it.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, but when the music's on, I can't hear.
Oh, okay. Let's try playing that for you one more time. Let's try it one more time.
Okay.
All right, Matthew, have you got an answer for us?
I haven't. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem at all. It is The Verve is what we were looking for there. Hard luck.
The Verve, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Okay.
Sorry about that. No.
Not at all. Anne-Marie, back to you. Our second category is TV characters. So, are you a TV fan? What do you think? Do you want a clue or no clue?
I will take no clue, please.
Oh, you're going risky. Okay, for 2 points on the board, no clue. Have a listen to this.
And the love that they give and have is shared and received. And through this having and giving and sharing and receiving, we too can share and love and have and receive.
Can you tell us who that TV character is, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, that'd be Joey from Friends. I
yes,
think.
Well done. Joey Tribbiani, played by Matt LeBlanc, a brilliant character. So well done you. That's 4 points on the board for you. Matthew, back to you. So your second category is TV characters as well. So again, we can give you a clue, which will get you 1 point, or no clue, and that'll get you 2 points on the board.
No clue, please.
Okay, so this is for 2 points, Matthew, and all you got to do is tell us, who is this TV character?
I called him.
Oh.
Yes. Well, I got his machine and I left a message. But it's okay. It's okay, it's okay, because, you know, it was like a casual, breezy message. It was breezy. Oh, God, what if it wasn't breezy? I got it. I will play my message for you guys and you can tell me if it's breezy enough.
All right, Matthew, you've got to get this one right to stay in the game. Who's that?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know who it is.
Hard luck. That was Monica Geller from Friends.
Friends,
so it was all Friends is what we were looking for today. Hard luck, Matthew.
Okay, no problem.
Lovely chatting to you this afternoon.
Hard luck, Matthew.
Thank you.
We will be sending you a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup, Matthew. That will be winging its way to you. But we have our winner today. That is Anne-Marie. So congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, Catherine. That's brilliant. Delighted.
Lovely weekend
so
in County Cork for you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's a nice way to start the week, isn't it? Coming back from Lisbon and heading off to Cork.
I know. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant.
We'll save it for the next one. It's brilliant. Thank you.
Well, listen, happy anniversary. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Catherine.
Take care, Anne-Marie.
Thank you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That is the amazing Hozier featured in Love Island last night. And always great when you hear the Irish artist. Not that I'm watching Love Island. I just didn't want to get sucked in. But always good to have the Irish artists playing there. All right, comedian Preacher Lawson shot to fame on America's Got Talent in 2017. Since then, his career has gone from strength to strength. And he kicks off the European leg of his Locked and Loaded tour at Liberty Hall Theatre in Dublin tonight. It is lovely to meet you.
Oh, it's good to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
I'm presuming that Locked and Loaded, that's dreadlocked, not locked as we know it.
Yeah, no. I mean loaded with all my weapons I took with me. No, I'm joking. I don't have any. No, but yeah, so locked, yeah, my hair's locked and I'm loaded with jokes.
Well, when we say locked here, we mean we've had one too many alcoholic beverages.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah. So that's a perfect title.
Of course, I would relate it to drinking alcohol. Who could have guessed that?
Come here, when did you land in? When did you land into Dublin?
I landed at 8 a.m. or 7 something. Okay. Something in the morning.
Okay.
So I've been flying since
through
10.
The night.
Yeah.
And I saw you on TikTok earlier wandering around O'Connell Street, so you obviously didn't even get a little nap in.
No, I'm pulling an all-nighter, baby. I'm going to be all up in your face. I'm going to be up, and then I'm going to perform the show. And I'm going to have energy. I have energy when I get on stage. Soon, for some reason, when I get on that stage, it's just magic. And then I'll go to sleep afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was delighted to hear that you were starting your tour here in Dublin. Was there any particular reason that you wanted your European leg to kick off here?
No, I don't know. I just was like, hey, agent, I want to do shows in Europe. And they were like, these are the shows. And I was like, let's do it, baby. I've never been to Ireland. I've never been here.
Oh, you've never been here?
I've never been here in my life. It's my first time.
Okay.
This is my first time on a radio show.
But did I read that you are a percentage Irish?
13% Irish.
13% Irish.
I didn't believe it. Then I was like, I don't, because I'm pretty dark. And then there's some people that are darker. So there's some people that are dark.
Anyway. Well, you reckon, have you ever heard the phrase gift of the gab?
Yeah, someone that could talk a lot
something? Yeah, so I'd say that's where your Irishness probably
comes
from.
Yeah, y'all are funny. It's kind of intimidating. Like, all of y'all are funny.
Well, I mean, we do love self-deprecating humor, which is what you do so well.
That's my jam.
Yeah, that's kind of what we... That's what we love here. So I think that's why you have such a big...
Yeah, y'all deprecate me as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you
kinda... Are you expecting hecklers?
I am now. Before, I wasn't. I was like, I'm probably going to go and do jokes. And then I was like, the taxi driver was funny. And I was like, this is a lot. Yeah, y'all are funny. You're really charming.
Brilliant. Are you familiar with the Irish comedy scene? We've got some really good
Sean
people.
Sean Finnerty, David Hill. Yeah, I know them.
Yeah.
Those are my friends.
Because Sean lives in the States, right?
Yeah. I met him like over 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, before he was on, he did an appearance on this Tonight Show. So
okay.
Yeah, I know a couple of y'all are funny.
Oh, well, we'll take that. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Your mom is with you at the moment as well. She is your tour manager.
Yeah, well, she's my tour manager. She's my merchandise person. She's my mom.
Momager.
She's my momager. Yeah, momager. Yeah. Yeah, I love taking her around. It's way cheaper. So I'm going to keep doing that. She's my favorite, definitely top two moms. Mine, you know, she's pretty cool.
Because you do know, like, the Irish mammy here is a very real, unique person. The Irish mammy is a very special lady.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so, like, an Irish mammy will, you get on the phone to a real Irish mammy, they will tell you who has died.
Oh, really?
They will tell you, well, you're never allowed curse in your mother's house. They'll still clip you around the ear. An Irish mammy will still give you a clip around the ear. They will feed you even if you're not hungry.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like her.
Yeah.
See, you're more Irish than you think.
No one's died in my family, though. Nobody in my family has died. And I'm grown. I'm a grown man, which means when they start dying, it's going to be like dominoes. I mean, it's kind of morbid, but everyone's still here. Everybody.
We'll go with
my grandma's still here. I'm like, dang, grandma, you still going. All right. She went to the prom with Jesus. I swear, man. Anyway. But.
Where did you actually grow up? Was it your mom raised you guys?
Yeah. I grew up in, I was born in Portland, Oregon. You know Oregon?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know Oregon. Oregon is actually where they grow white people. There's no black people. We're like unicorns. My shadow ain't even black. You know what's crazy? I thought there was no black people in Ireland. And I got here and I was like, oh, snap, six.
No, we are very multicultural.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. It's really cool. And I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. You know Memphis?
Yes.
Graceland.
Yeah.
Elvis.
Wow, okay. Wow, okay.
He always sounds like he's drowning, doesn't he? It's like, bro, get out the water. Does it sound like he records his music in the water? He's like, come on, man. Anyway, he's great.
So how did you go from Memphis to Oregon?
I moved a lot. I don't know. I think my mom was... I don't know. She might have been a drug dealer, bro. We was always going places. What? Can I say that? All right. But she just moved around a lot. And I was a kid, so I didn't have a choice.
Okay.
She'd be like, we're leaving. And I'm like, all right. And I was just...
On to the next place.
We just move a lot. We moved a lot.
Okay.
We moved a lot.
So. And can I ask you where the name Preacher comes from? It is a great name. It is a brilliant name.
Yeah. You can't forget it.
No.
And if you do, you're going to hell. No, I'm joking. So my mom, she thought of it. When I was 2 weeks old, a bunch of people that she had never met was like, when he gets old, he's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a pastor. That's what they seen in me at 2 weeks old. And I don't know exactly what I was saying to give off that vibe. I don't know if I was changing my mom's milk into wine, you know, walking in my bathtub water.
Because that's quite insightful at 2 weeks old
on their part. They were wrong. I'm talking to the microphone in front of people. So they weren't too far off.
Yeah. And there's a lot of preachers, the good ones, they ooze charisma.
It is
about getting that message across and holding people's attention, which is what you have to do on stage.
I do have to hold attention.
Yeah.
I do have to hold attention, which is wild because no one can hold my attention because I have ADHD. I have ABC. I got ABCD. You know what I mean? I got it.
I know what you're trying.
I got the stuff.
When you were young, like when you were in school, was comedy, is that how you... like how you managed? Did you use comedy in the classroom? Were you the class clown or did it kind of come later?
It's crazy because people assumed that I was the class clown because I was a comedian, but I was quiet unless everybody was quiet. Then I was like, all right, I'll take it from here. Then I would step in and do my thing, you know, but I was pretty quiet. I was really quiet unless everybody was quiet.
Okay, and then you felt that you needed to...
Then I was like, it's too quiet. I got y'all. And I would come in there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me then about America's Got Talent. And that was back in 2017. So I had a chat with a little 14-year-old earlier on. Killian O'Connor was his name. He's a magician from Ireland. And he appeared on Britain's Got Talent the weekend. So he got to the final and was in front of Simon Cowell and did his thing. And, you know, you were on that same journey and it kind of changed your life, for want of a better expression.
Yeah, it did. It was awesome. I was on Britain's Got Talent Champions. I was on America's Got Talent and America's Got Talent Champions. Mm. I've been all the talents, okay? But it's been great. You know, I did the show. When I did it, I didn't realize how many friends and family members I had. You know, they just kind of came up. It's weird because I did the show. My dad didn't pop up. I was waiting on him to pop up. Be like, hey, how you doing, brother? Nah. So he's still gone. But no, it was good. It was good. I could change my life. You know, I was like really broke when I did the show, and now I'm not broke anymore. I get to travel. I wouldn't be in Dublin right now if it wasn't for Americans, which is weird.
Yeah.
That's how big that show is.
It's unreal.
Is that y'all know it.
It can open.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. I watched it for years. Britain's Got Talent. We have Ireland's Got Talent here. I mean, I would say even 5-6 years ago, it was bigger than it is now. You know?
For sure. Yeah. I think that the 2020 had a huge reason for that, because I think all people would be in their house watching TV shows, and then it went from that to like people be on their phones and. I don't know. It's kind of like, but it was massive. Mm. My season was the biggest.
It's
on me.
You have a massive following on TikTok.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You have like how many million followers?
3.4. Who's counting?
Who's counting?
I'm counting, and it stayed at 3.4 for months now. So get it up. Follow me right now. No. Yeah, so I got 3.4 on TikTok, which is pretty cool. I don't know how I have that many followers. But
and having that social platform, like how important is it now in terms of content and content creation for you and selling tickets? Like it's
Yeah, I mean, you got comedians like Matt Rife. That dude, he's massive now, and it's because of TikTok. Him and Nate Jackson. I mean, there's a bunch of people that are like blowing up from social media. They're just, you know, they're just massive. So, did you wave? Okay. I just seen an arm.
You saw somebody waving to you.
Yeah, I see some arm. I told you I got HGTV. I do. So I think having a... That's the new TV.
Yeah.
It's social media.
Yeah.
So.
Well, again, you're able to put your content out the way you wanted. You can edit it the way you wanted.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. I got an editor now because I was tired of doing that.
There you go. You've really made it. But listen, it was lovely chatting to you.
Thank you.
And just to remind people, the Locked and Loaded Tour, it's at Liberty Hall Theatre tonight in Dublin. Tickets are available from ticketmaster.ie. Does your mom go along to all the gigs, or is she just here to shop?
She's a performer. She's a comedian.
What?
Yeah, my mom's a performer.
Wow, okay.
How many comedians bring their mama on the road?
Double trouble. What's her name, by the way?
Her name is Mama Lawson.
Mama Lawson.
Yeah.
Okay, fab. Listen, lovely chatting to you this afternoon. Good luck with the show tonight and with the rest of the tour. Preacher Lawson, thanks for coming in. That is all we've got time for today. Stay tuned because Cormac is next on Drive Time, and I'll be back tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.